The Lord be with you. A reading from the Holy Gospel according to Matthew. Jesus summoned his 12 disciples and gave them authority over unclean spirits to drive them out and to cure every disease and every illness. The names of the 12 apostles are these. First, Simon called Peter and his brother Andrew. James, the son of Zebedee, and his brother John, Philip and Bartholomew, Thomas and Matthew the tax collector, James, the son of Alphaeus, and Thaddeus, Simon the Cananean, and Judas Iscariot, who betrayed Jesus. Jesus sent out these 12 after instructing them thus, "Do not go into pagan territory or enter a Samaritan town. Go rather to the lost sheep of the house of Israel. As you go, make this proclamation: the kingdom of heaven is at hand." The Gospel of the Lord. Good. So once again, good morning, brothers and sisters. And once again, welcome back. Just yesterday in the Gospel, you heard Jesus say, "The harvest is rich, but the laborers are few, so pray to the Lord of the harvest to send out laborers for his harvest." And that's why today in the Gospel you hear Jesus send out the 12 apostles. Now, the number 12 is a very important number in the Scriptures, highly symbolic. 12 was the number of the sons of Jacob. 12 was the number of the tribes of Israel. 12 was the number of the patriarchs of the Old Testament. 12 was the number of the stones that were on the breastplate of the high priest. 12 was the number of the spies who first sought out the promised land when they first reached its borders. 12 is the number of the pillars of the church recorded in the book of Revelation. 12 is the number that St. Peter wanted to return the apostles to after the betrayal of Judas Iscariot. So when Jesus calls 12 apostles, he does it to make it clear that what he's doing is on God's own authority. And this is a very important point to make. We have a God who is a God of the ordinary. He doesn't just work in invisible things and miraculous things and sublime and supernatural things, but in the real world, in ordinary events, through ordinary people. And he calls these 12 extraordinarily ordinary guys. Now, when you hear the names of the 12 apostles read, you're tempted to idealize them, to think of them as you would imagine them in a work of stained glass, or in an illuminated manuscript, or in a beautiful statue in a niche in a church, all bathed in the glow of candlelight. And it's easy to forget just how very ordinary these guys are. I think if Jesus were founding his church today and calling 12 apostles, he'd call these guys off a truck stop or off a construction site or off the stockroom floor in a Walmart. 12 very ordinary guys, and yet, through this ordinary means, the extraordinary and supernatural God is at work. And this is what we need to remember. The most important line from this passage is when he called his 12 apostles, it said he gave them his own authority. And later he would embellish that and add to it. Jesus himself would say to his apostles, "He who hears you hears me. And as the Father sent me, so I send you." Jesus' own authority is at work. And this is very important to remember, because it's Jesus' own authority that's the foundation of the church, ladies and gentlemen. Because the successors to the apostles and to St. Peter are currently known as the popes and the bishops. This own authority is Jesus' own authority. It's the foundation of the church. We can't ever forget that. We have so much reason to be disappointed in our church leadership in recent years. Disappointed, scandalized, deeply saddened by not just incompetence and mismanagement, but blatant mortal sin. No dispute on that whatsoever. However, through all of it, we can't ever lose sight of the fact that God himself is still guiding the teaching of his church. Now, I can save you a whole bunch of time in any dispute you might ever have with regard to the doctrine that we believe as Catholics or with regard to the morality that we proclaim as good. It all comes down to a question of authority. You know, you're having a dispute with, you know, maybe it's a Protestant or Eastern Orthodox, about what we believe, about doctrine, or about what's right and what's wrong, or about morality. Jump right to the end of that discussion, and it always comes down to a question of authority. The question is, who says? I have a friend of mine who's a priest in our diocese now, who used to be a Presbyterian. And he tells me that one of the reasons he became a Catholic was because of something that he observed in his Presbyterian church at one of his Wednesday night Bible studies, in which these two were going at it, back and forth, disputing over a passage of Scripture, and it got really heated until the point came when one of the two stood up, pointed down at the other, and said, "I rebuke you." And the other guy, not to be outdone, stood up, pointed right back, and said, "No, I rebuke you." And this impartial observer thought to himself, what's needed here is an unrebuked rebuker. Well, Jesus is the unrebuked rebuker. And he gave that authority to the church, and brothers and sisters, we need it. Never forget that we have a God who does extraordinary things through very ordinary means. God loves ordinary things. Just look at the life of Jesus himself. Here's an ordinary man who lived as an ordinary worker in an ordinary part of the world for 30 out of his 33 years. God loves ordinary things because ordinariness is the foundation of self-forgetfulness. Self-forgetfulness is the foundation of humility. And humility is the foundation of love. So let's pray for the grace to see God's extraordinary work in ordinary things, right where we are. Amen.